If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J. continues his vacation. We are going to talk to Russ Fulcher live from Cleveland here in about 60 seconds, maybe less. But from 1969, Caroline on My Mind, all the way through Fire and Rain, You've Got a Friend, How Sweet It Is, Mexico, Sweet Baby James. James Taylor has a wide variety of great songs that everybody knows.
Fire and Rain.
Fire and Rain. He will be in town tomorrow night at Taco Bell Arena. The good folks at Taco Bell Arena love us, so they gave us five pairs of tickets to give away. If you want to go see James Taylor tomorrow night, I've got five pairs of tickets, one pair for each winner, obviously. Call 336-3711, 336-3711. Be caller 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And you will be going to see James Taylor free on us. You have to be able to pick up the tickets either today or tomorrow, obviously, because the concert's tomorrow night. And the good folks from Taco Bell Arena gave us those tickets, and so we thank them for that very much. All right, all that's out of the way. Now let's head to Cleveland. Here is Russ Fulcher calling us from Cleveland. Russ, it's amazing to me, with everything going on last night and all that everyone saw, the only thing we're talking about this morning is whether the speech was plagiarized.
Yeah. Well, good morning, David and Chris. Yeah, frankly, that might be what's on the media tracks and the media narrative. There's not much of that happening internally here, but overall, I thought that she did a wonderful job, and given the circumstances in front of a national audience and speaking in your second language, I thought she did a wonderful job.
What was the highlight of the evening for people there?
Well, Chris, I think there was a number of things. Giuliani was he was fired up. And if you've tracked him or his speeches in the past, this is probably the speech of his lifetime. And he had a red meat crowd, and he was throwing that red meat out there, and a primetime audience. But there were others. Marcus Luttrell, the lone survivor, Navy SEAL, I thought did a wonderful job. The two fellows that were on top of the building in Benghazi, I think it was Mark Geist, John Teagan, they communicated an emotional recreation, verbal recreation of what took place that night. You know, those types of things, just real life stuff. And so the first day was really geared to try to get people fired up, and they had a lot of people that were wired to do just that.
Hmm. Russ, let me ask you, it started out on a kind of a contentious note. There were a lot of people, Cruz supporters, maybe just people who were the Never Trump group, and they were shouted down and voted out and removed. So how did that start everything out on a kind of a sour note?
Well, the first day also includes some administrative things, which means you approve the rules for the party and the convention, and you approve your platform. And that's where the dust-up came, David. There was a conflict over the party rules. Ahead of time last week, the Republican National Committee and the Trump campaign had agreed that they really didn't want to do any rule changes because they were fearful that with some rule changes, then those who oppose Trump are going to try to get the ability to change their vote on the first round and have the, quote, the conscience vote capability. On the other hand, there were a lot of delegates, myself included, frankly, that would like to have been able to make some other changes that were much more constructive. For example, we wanted to do roll call votes instead of voting as a group, you know, state by state, that is. And so it turned out that there was that conflict there. I'm sure the media probably made it more adversarial than it really was, but that was the initial dust up that got the play.
Are most people there excited about the Trump campaign and the next few months?
You know, Chris, I think so. I really do. I mean, this is definitely a change for the Republican Party, and Trump wasn't my first choice, to be perfectly honest, but you know, we're kind of down to that binary decision at this stage, and it's either going to be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton as the next president of the United States. And most people, I think, in Cleveland right now, whether he was their first choice or not, they're realizing that and coming around to supporting that decision.
Russ, I got to ask you. Last night, I'm watching on TV, and I want to see what your reaction was as Donald is coming up. I'm not sure if I'm watching a Def Leppard concert or maybe the Undertaker from WWE coming out with all the smoke and everything. How did that play in front of everybody?
Oh, there was a little bit of drama there, but you got to remember at that point here, David, I think we'd been going for about 12 hours or 11 hours, and so a little bit of drama was probably in order. But this place is packed, and when you're on the floor, the chairs are the smallest chairs I've ever sat in, and so you kind of just squeezed, you know, body upon body in there. And they keep things moving, and the intro for Donald was dramatic, and in his kind of personal style, he wanted to introduce his wife, and that was the method they chose to do it. But it went over pretty well, I think.
You're looking forward to the roll call tonight.
Yeah. Well, here we go. we've got pretty much a kind of an off day, because last night went so late, we don't get together until late in the afternoon for the session there, but should be interesting.
Russ, thanks for your time this morning. Can we impose on you tomorrow morning and also on Thursday morning to give us a little recap of what happened the night before?
I'm happy to do it, David. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Russ. We appreciate it. Russ Fulcher calling in and being part of the, he's our on-the-spot reporter, yeah. KBOI there in Cleveland at the RNC. We'll be talking to him every morning this week. All right, it's 8:45. Let us check last update for traffic. Paul J. still out, David Allen, Chris Walton, Todd with 1D. We have our five winners. These five folks are going to be singing Mockingbird tomorrow night with James Taylor. Steve Birch, Mark Gibbons, Frank Foster, Amy Farnham, and Larry Peterson. So thanks, everybody, for calling in. Have a great time at the show tomorrow night. Should be great. I mean, that's just the greatest hits, right? When he's out there?
Oh, yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
He's going to play everything you know, and you're going to go, oh, that's right. I remember this song. Oh, I remember what I was doing in 1971 when this song came on. So it's going to be awesome. So
Elton John tells a story that he said I was kind of arrogant in the mid-70s, and he had a right to be. He had so many number one hits.
Say, yeah, it was easy
for
him.
But he said, you know, I wanted to appear in concert and basically play all the songs off my new album.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He says, one time the Beach Boys opened for me, and he said all they played were old songs and hits. And people absolutely loved them. And he says, that's where I learned right there.
Yep.
He says, just play the hits.
You can sprinkle a new song in every once in a while, but just play the stuff.
Well,
and
there are certain artists, you know, that they don't have a lot of songs on the radio. And so you go to see what they have and listen to new stuff. But
Elton John, James Taylor.
Yeah, a lot of those oldies tours, though, they just want to hear the hits.
Yeah. If Night Ranger's coming through, I just need to see here, Sister Christian, Don't Tell Me You Love Me, and Rockin' the USA. Keep on rockin', or whatever that is. You can still rock in America. That's what it is. Keep on rocking in the USA. That's like a Miley Cyrus song or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell's going on here. All right. We talked to Russ Fulcher about the RNC. And obviously this morning, for some reason, and he's right, it's not playing there, obviously, but the media is all about Melania's speech last night and how it was plagiarized. Like, she sat down and wrote it and was listening to.
Well, and that's an odd thing because, you know, a lot of the things she said, they were very generic, you know, like,
yes.
You know, work hard and you'll get to do this and blah, blah, blah.
Believe in yourself.
But the way they were worded, it was exactly the same as Michelle Obama's speech back in 2008, which is odd because you would think that that's the last thing a speechwriter would want to do, is plagiarize something that's fairly well known for the exact same kind of event.
Yes, and it was only 8 years ago. It wasn't like he plagiarized a speech from 1940.
Well, even then, there would be people who know the speech.
Sure, but certainly 8 years ago, people are going to know the speech.
Come up with some new stuff or word it differently.
Yes, you can word it differently, but
it would be strange if it happened to be just all a coincidence.
Random and weird.
There are a lot of politicians that do, you know, have the same talking points and they repeat them over and over and over.
Yeah, but that would be very strange. I did think last night while I was talking to Russ, I thought it started out rather contentiously. The Never Trump crowd was always going to be there. And there was no way the RNC was going to allow it to be anything but a Donald Trump coronation through this week.
Let me ask you this, and I don't mean this in a lecherous kind of way. I mean it just in a goodwill kind of way. Do you think that Melania Trump got Donald Trump some goodwill last night? Do you think there are people that heard that and think, you know, she might be a pretty good first lady?
I would guess that she didn't hurt him last night.
Okay.
So there was some certainly goodwill from Melania Trump last night. Yes. I actually thought all the speakers. I thought Rudy Giuliani, while he did seem a bit scream-like last night.
And that was his job.
But he's very passionate.
She wasn't there to be the attack dog, so they still had to have an attack dog.
And he was the attack dog last night, and he did a really good job.
Obviously more than willing to do that and good at it.
As Russ said, it was a red meat crowd, and he was more than willing to throw them stakes last night, and he did. I thought Marcus Luttrell was really good.
Mm-hmm.
If you know his story at all, it's pretty amazing what any SEAL goes through, but his story is really amazing. And even Robertson from the Duck Dynasty, mm-hmm. I thought his speech was really good.
No, I didn't happen to see his. I might have gone to sleep. Was his late?
His was late, yes.
Okay, yeah, I'd gone to sleep by then. And Scott Baio also was on.
Yes, and so was Antonio Sabato Jr. And I thought his speech when he said, everyone should have to do what my family did, which was come in the country, get your green card, register, make sure you go through the process, mm-hmm. wait the 7 years to become an American citizen. I thought his speech was really good because his family came over, obviously, from Italy and did it, you know, the legal manner. And I thought his was a good speech. So while I poo-pooed his speech yesterday morning, he did a good job last night. I think everybody
I think you were kind of surprised that he was even, you know,
I was surprised that he was on there. But the question now becomes, though, is this a convention about the people who are there, or is it a bigger deal to people who aren't there?
Very good question. We've got a list of people who aren't there.
Exactly. We will be talking to you after the national news, then we got local news with Rick. It's 8:56 on 670 KBOI. Welcome back to the show, 907. David Allen and Chris Walton here with you. Todd with 1D, pushing the buttons again. Let's go to Rich in Boise. Rich, you're on 670 KBOI.
Well, good morning. I really liked Melania's speech last night. Although she did leave out some parts, like how her and her husband met on the south side of Chicago. She left that out.
Well, the great thing is, Rich, Michelle didn't write her speech in 08, and I can guarantee you Melania didn't write her speech last night either.
Yeah, but Michelle didn't plagiarize hers.
No, and I'm just saying Melania didn't plagiarize it either. The speechwriter might have plagiarized it, but Melania had nothing to do with the speech. She just delivered it.
But Trump's denying it. Also, in defense of her,
Hang on, Rich. Trump's denying that Melania plagiarized it. Melania had nothing to do with that speech. I can almost guarantee you she might have talked to the speechwriter, but the speechwriter, if there's any plagiarism going on, it's the speechwriter, not Melania.
Trump's denying that, too. In her defense, though, she was born in a communist country, and in communist country, first lady only have one speech. She could always go with that. And then there's the fact that she didn't plagiarize everything. You know,
again, she didn't plagiarize anything. It's the speechwriter.
To a certain extent, though, once you deliver the speech, once you deliver the speech nationwide, it's yours. You know,
she said that she wrote the speech in interviews, though, too.
Mm.
So you can't be doing that. She had interviews and said she wrote the speech with as little help as possible. You just can't defend this. And Trump is denying that any of it's plagiarized. He's saying it's just coincidence.
Well, again, the verbiage,
so you can't deny that either.
The themes she used last night are pretty common themes. Work hard, you can get whatever you want. Believe in the country. The verbiage is exactly the same as Michelle used. I'm going to agree with you on that. But the themes that it was about are generic, and everyone should believe in them. And I believed in them when Michelle used them, too, in 08.
Except it was plagiarized, and the Trump campaign is denying it. they are denying it. And why? If this was a Democrat, you'd be saying, what kind of campaign would allow this to happen on that high level?
Actually, we said that this morning.
I actually said that this morning. So
it's just fun watching you guys tap dance around different than if it would have been a Democrat.
I just told you it was plagiarized. I just told you. And I know it was plagiarized because Joe Biden's great at that. And so there's plagiarism in the White House at all times.
Attack Joe Biden because Trump will not admit that this was plagiarized at all. They're just saying it was coincidence.
Trump campaign chief denies plagiarism charge.
She wrote the speech. She said she wrote the speech.
Well, all I can tell you is that she probably talked to speechwriters, and the speechwriters wrote the speech. The woman, it's not her. It's English is her second language. I'm not sure she wrote the speech. She probably wrote and said, I'd like to say things like this. I'd like to say things like that.
But even on that note, I'd still like to know who did.
Oh, I would like to know who did also. I'd love to know who wrote the speech, who sat down with her.
The fun part would be is if it ended up being the same person who did write the speech 8 years ago.
That would be. It would be a bit of irony that I didn't need to know.
A little mercenary, but, you know, why not?
But it is what it is. All right. I talked before the top of the hour about the RNC and whether this was going to be about who was there, all the speakers who are there this week, or is it a bigger deal, all the speakers who aren't there this week?
It's, at this point, almost equal. You know, at the, what was it, at the last Republican convention 4 years ago, famously, I guess, Clint Eastwood talked to a chair.
Yes, he did.
And they don't have Clint Eastwood. I mean, and instead of Clint Eastwood, they had Scott Baio. It's a different kind of celebrity.
It is. It's a different kind of celebrity. It probably appeals to a younger demographic than the 80-year-old Clint Eastwood.
Scott Baio's older than I am, though.
Yeah, but he's still a younger demographic.
Well, good point.
He's the same age as me is all, I think. Okay, so, come on, I'm not that much older than you. Stop it. Antonio Sabato Jr.
About 3.5 years.
Is a younger demographic than an 80-year-old person talking to a chair.
Well, I suppose so.
Yeah. Here are the people who aren't there. Some of the big names.
All right.
George W. Bush isn't going to be there. George H.W. Bush is not going to be there.
Well, him I understand.
Yes.
Well, except you saw Bob Dole last night.
Yes, I did.
Bob Dole even had a guy who lifted him up and then put him back down in the chair. Because he's in his 90s.
He's in his 90s. John McCain will not be there. Mitt Romney will not be there. John Kasich will not be there. Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, and Lindsey Graham.
Okay, and
not showing up.
All of those people, with the exception of the Bushes, have lost the race for president.
And most of them supported someone other than Donald, obviously. There were some Cruz people in there. There were some Rubio. Obviously, Rubio backed himself. But it's interesting to me how divided the party is. And this just goes to prove it. If you're one of these people, and again, the elder Bush, I can see why maybe he's not there. But if you're John McCain, if you're Mitt Romney, if you're John Kasich, if you're Marco Rubio, don't you have to be there? Don't you have to swallow your pride and go, you know what? I might not agree with everything he wants to say, but he's going to be better than Hillary?
Well, I think Priebus does, but the rest of them are just going to stay out of it.
Yeah.
Because they...
But that doesn't look good, does it?
Well, no, it doesn't. But what does look good about this? A whole lot of people have said, you know, I am a Republican, and I will probably vote Republican, but they keep maintaining that this is not the person that they would have chosen to be the next president.
But
on the Democratic side, a lot of people are doing that over there, too.
But you don't see a lot of big names that are going to maybe miss the DNC next week. That's the problem, is that if you're sitting back going, boy, I don't know if I should vote for Trump or not. It's like, wow, people in his own party aren't even backing him.
Now, if a big celebrity endorses Trump and makes a big speech on his behalf at the convention, what happens to that celebrity's career?
I don't know.
Okay, nothing if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing if you're Antonio Sabato Jr.
Okay, clearly, probably nothing if you're Scott Baio.
Yeah.
It might even, you know, double your chances of getting into a movie.
But I don't think it's going to hurt the father of the Robertson clan, who was there last night.
No, I don't think so either. He's been pretty open with his views all along.
Yes.
What about the big celebrities if they show up at the Democrat convention next week and make a big speech for Hillary Clinton? Does that hurt them?
I don't think so.
Because, you know,
I don't think anybody...
It's easy if somebody's very popular, if somebody has like an 80% approval rating or something, it's easy to get up there and endorse them. It's more difficult when you've got two people like Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton that both are still in approval ratings very low.
The thing is, I don't care that much about the celebrities. Mm-hmm. I care more about the politicians who aren't there. From an optics point of view, it doesn't look good when people in your own party want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
So basically, what they're saying is, we're not backing Trump, we're not backing Hillary, which means you're not...
Yeah, Lindsey Graham, not there.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham, and to me...
Well, Mike Crapo is not there from the great state of Idaho.
But Raul is.
Jeff Flake, not there.
I think the bigger names are John McCain, Mitt Romney, John Kasich, George W. Bush, Marco mm-hmm. Rubio. Those are names people all know, and you have to look at it and say, if we don't all rally behind Donald Trump, as much as I might not agree with anything he says, Hillary's going to win.
Now, the only thing I can say there, he's already kind of ruined it by choosing Mike Pence as his vice president, you know, is that maybe his entire campaign, because it was based on being a Washington outsider and being an outsider in the Republican, you know, National Committee and all that sort of thing. Maybe he just wants to keep it that way. He doesn't need a former president. He doesn't need the guy who ran 4 years ago or 8 years ago to show up because, you know, he's going to do it all himself and still be an outsider. However,
yeah, picking Mike Pence doesn't make you an outsider.
Choosing Mike Pence was probably the one thing he did that seems least Trump-like.
I'm curious as to what the Trump folks think. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Are the optics on this bad for the Republican Party? It's 916 on 670 KBOI. Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. KBOI rewards code. Plagiarize. 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 If you don't know how to spell it, steal it from someone. Plagiarize. Go to KBOI.com, enter the word plagiarize.
Find the word in somebody else's writing and copy it.
Copy it. And get your 5,000 rewards points. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on the Verizon Wireless. Let's go to Hank in Boise. Hank, you're on with David and Chris.
Okay, before I comment about Rich, I might point out that the split with people who refuse to attend the convention are sort of like the sons and daughters of previous establishment types that refused to support Barry Goldwater 50 years ago. I'll give an example. Prescott Bush, who was the grandfather of George Herbert Walker, the last one, and also the father of the other Bush, refused to back Goldwater back in 64. Mitt Romney was the son of George Romney, who refused to back Barry Goldwater. And basically this is when Goldwater and his group basically overthrew the establishment 52 years ago. So we have echoes of this battle that goes on within the Republican Party between the conservatives and the establishment. But
Hank, and I'll say you're making my point for me because we know how well Goldwater did.
Well, but I think there's also differences in the difference. For one thing, the Democrat Party's moved much further to the left than it was in 64. And the other element that's involved in it is that we don't have we didn't have necessarily the deep divide that came later in the Johnson administration, but to a large extent that didn't exist. You still had the overwhelming bias of the press. I remember Walter Cronkite and Daniel Shore, CBS, openly making fun of Goldwater on CBS Evening News. I remember that very well. And I remember Walter Cronkite trying to imply that Kennedy was probably shot by a right-wing extremist in Dallas and then trying to relate to what happened to Adlai Stevenson 2 weeks ago. I remember that very vividly, watching the coverage back then.
What's your other point, Hank?
My other point about Rich is Rich doesn't have a lot to say. You know, he goes on and on about the thing. He's so partisan. I'm a partisan person, but he even puts me to shame, a partisan Democrat. I look at, when you look at, he has a lot to say about Hillary's, cattle futures, with the manipulation that was done by Red Bone and her behavior. He doesn't have a lot to say about Travelgate, which was another Hillary scandal, or Whitewater. He doesn't have a lot to say about the selling of the State Department access to the State Department for money for the Clinton Foundation and their own pocket money. He doesn't have a lot to say about the evasion of the Freedom of Information Act with the computer or the mishandling of the scene. We don't have a lot to say about it, but boy, we can sure go on and on in Rich's world
about plagiarism on the part of, you know, we got much bigger issues to deal with if it's a Democrat candidate. But you'll find Rich will find some way to justify all that kind of behavior on the part of Hillary.
All right, Hank, thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it.
Bob checked in to say, first, the Republican politicians who are not showing up are showing that they are rhinos, you know, which is Republicans in name only. They don't want Trump to break up the establishment game that has been going on for decades. These politicians don't care who is in the White House, only that they have their leadership roles on powerful committees. You named a whole herd of rhinos. McCain, Flake, perfect name for him. Lindsey, Goober, Graham. Those who aren't at the convention are going to be left behind. If you don't think rhinos are in trouble, look at Paul Ryan. The Speaker of the House is in a battle for his seat in Wisconsin. It's always embarrassing if the Speaker of the House doesn't get reelected in his own district.
Yeah, that's never good. That's never good. All right, we're going to talk to Mark in Boise after the news at the bottom of the hour with Rick. He will have our update. We will be back. It's David Allen, Chris Walton on 670 KBOI. Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton, Paul Jay on vacation. We'll be back on Tuesday. Do you have more instant massages?
Let's see. I do. Bob in Meridian says, I wonder if Rich is as upset over Hillary's email scandal, which put our national security at risk, as he is about Melania's speech. Did you guys read where a baseball exec was sentenced to 46 months for hacking into another team's site? Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Hillary put top secret information at risk, and it seems her site was hacked, yet nothing happens to her.
I have some an update that I was telling you about in the break on plagiarism and or lifting of speech parts.
Mm-hmm.
First, let's go to Mark in Boise. Mark, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Well, pretty good, guys. I got to agree with Hank when he called it about Rich. You know, first, I got to say this, you know, the best thing Rich could do this morning was call and bitch about a few words taken from Michelle's speech. And I agree with you, sir, that these speeches are usually written for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Rich was breastfed too long when he was a little boy, maybe in those 10-year-old days, and he misses his mommy. Now, aside from that, I thought they had great speakers. I am very PO'd about one thing, though. I don't know if any of you guys noticed this and the listeners, but I had to go, of all things, to Idaho Public Television 4.1, and it was via NPR who carried the earlier parts of the speeches with some of the guys, like the mother of the seal was killed in Benghazi.
Yeah, they were on C-SPAN was on.
Yeah, I saw it on C-SPAN.
And PBS and I think CNN were the only ones that were there earlier than 8 o'clock.
Well, I don't have cable anymore.
Right.
I get tired of paying Cable One's fee, so I have a digital antenna, and I could pick up I pick up plenty of channels with that for free. But, I mean, ABC, NBC, CBS, all they had was their garbage on there that they normally run, their stupid sitcoms, whatever, or what is it, Gladiator shows, whatever it is, on there. You know, the other thing I did notice is I want to see if during the Demon Rat convention, whether ABC, NBC, and CBS is going to be there from the moment on, and broadcast from the very beginning to the end, which they did not do with the Republican convention last night. The other thing, too, is I noticed it's all about placement of microphones, too. NPR, if it was their system that they had set up, I noticed where the microphones were set, it sounded like everything was distant for the applause. Now, I did not notice that convention center loaded up with people. So I'm guessing that the Democrats are going to find a way to load up their convention center with people they get a buy-off, pay for, whatever, and they'll place those microphones in places where the applause sound like it's like 10 times the Roman Colosseum, you know what I mean? And it's the way they place those mics to see how the people respond to the speakers that are up there speaking.
Well, like they do for a football game. Football games became a little bit more fun to watch when they included a crowd mic, you know, so you could
hear
people.
Go, Chris.
You could hear the sounds from the field, and you could hear you know, people cheering and stuff like that. But there were people complaining on Twitter last night about the PBS sound because they said people were like leaving their microphones on and talking off, you know, and
they were,
and they didn't know. They wanted to know who the technical director was.
And they were talking through sometimes. You would try to hear the speaker, and then you'd hear ad libs from the speakers at NPR.
Nice.
In the background there, which I thought was kind of rude and deliberately done, in my opinion. But I'll let you guys take other callers. Have
all
a good
all
day.
All right, Mark. Thanks a lot for the call. I wanted to bring this up real quick. In 2008? Yeah, 2008. The Obama campaign lifted
McCain against Obama. Yeah,
yeah. Barack Obama lifted words from then Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. The Obama campaign did not even bother to refute the claim. Instead, it circulated examples of lines that it said Clinton herself had borrowed from Obama. Left media defended Obama, saying that he had not committed plagiarism, but merely, at worst, poor footnoting. Hillary Clinton, obviously, has done stuff. Joe Biden and even Michelle Obama back in the day lifted stuff from Saul Alinsky's book.
Well,
so,
and
it's all over the place.
The disgruntled vet wrote in to say that Melvin Douglas said, "Your word is your bond," decades ago. No one called FLOTUS out in 08.
Exactly. That's a very good point. It's a very good point. Tony in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Listen, first of all, you know, the criticism that different people have for Donald Trump's wife, you know what? I think everything that she said last night basically came from the heart, even if there were some similarities to someone else and everything. You know, give the woman a break. You know, if they're not talking about her, if they're talking about her, they're leaving somebody else alone. Let's look at it that way. And another thing, too, you know, all these politicians, these that don't want to go to this convention, these high mucky muck Republicans and everything, they're like a bunch of little kids. You don't want to do things my way, then I'm not coming. I'm not going to look, and I'm not going to support you. Come on, why don't we grow up? If you're interested in your country and you want to do something to keep your country safe and everything, maybe this man isn't just the cup of tea that you're looking for, but he's got his best efforts at heart, and I think he's strong. He calls the kettle black. Let's get behind this man and help him do something to make a difference in this country. That's what we need to do.
All right, Tony, thanks for the call. We appreciate you checking in.
Dave of Boise says, and I'm not sure I agree with this. He says, "I am embarrassed to be an American right now. We truly have nothing better to do in our society than to pick apart a very heartfelt and well-delivered speech from the future president of the United States of America's wife. This is a shameful way to act by every American in this country, political or not. It's just morally wrong." The reason I disagree with that is because when it comes to picking apart the speeches that either our elected officials, leaders, whatever you want to call them, or even their representatives give, that's almost our responsibility to do that when it comes to government. Americans are supposed to criticize their government when they see something that they don't like.
But there would be a part of the populace, and I might be in that part, that Melania is not going to be part of the government.
Okay, and that's a good point. She will, however, be, assuming that he gets to be president, she will be an official hostess of foreign dignitaries all the time and will have an official status.
Yeah, but she's not going to be making any policy or anything.
As I assume Bill Clinton will if Hillary gets elected.
Yikes.
I don't.
She's not going to be making any policy.
I'm really not sure how that works, and I'm guessing neither is anyone else.
Neither, because it's never happened before, so it'll be interesting to see.
Grover Cleveland, when he was first elected, he was not married. He was single, and there were two or three others that were single also, and they usually just got someone, either a niece or a cousin or somebody like that, to act as the first lady or to act as a hostess when it came to that, to those sorts of activities.
I loved him on Sesame Street.
That's a different Grover.
Oh, that's my bad.
That was lovable, furry old Grover.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. What are your takeaways from last night's opening night of the RNC? It's 944 at 670 KBOI. Thank you very much, Rick. USA Today has the five takeaways from night one of RNC.
All right.
Number one, the Trumps steal the stage.
Well, yeah. I mean, when Donald Trump, they were playing Brown Eyed Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it is the original music. You know, it wasn't Van Morrison,
no.
Brown Eyed Girl. It was just Brown Eyed Girl by whoever was singing. And then they immediately stopped that and went into We Are the Champions.
Yes.
And then there was Trump in silhouette, you know, coming out looking like a rock star. Oddly enough, all of a sudden his teleprompters were also in silhouette.
Which seems strange to me.
It kind of did. It was a little weird part of it. But and then Melania came out, you know, looking, well, like Melania.
Yeah.
And, they were somewhat mesmerizing for a certain amount of time.
Never Trump going down swinging. They, even though they didn't get what they wanted, they at least were vocal about it and were right there to be shown on TV and have their at least decisions voiced.
Did you see the big banner somebody was holding up real high where there weren't very many people?
That was
holding
pink
up the banner that said "Refugees welcome."
Yeah, that was the pink group or whatever that want to stop war. I can't think of what
they're
called.
Then the other gal, the one who got kicked out, was screaming. And I don't think very many people could hear her, but she was very close to where Mike Pence was. She was screaming that Donald Trump's foreign policy that he plans to implement will actually make us less safe than we are now.
Yes. Goodbye, hello, Cleveland. Those of you who love the movie This Is Spinal Tap will get where that is. Anti-Clinton red meat. And Charles in charge of our days and our homeland.
Scott Baio.
So that was their five takeaways from last night.
Okay.
Mike in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris.
David and Chris, this is a distraction, the speech, but it's merely a distraction that'll be long forgotten, Trump's wife's speech. But
yeah, probably by tonight.
It's probably by tomorrow for sure.
Yeah.
But they could end it by firing the speechwriter. Obviously, those words didn't fall out of the sky into her head, even though she said she did it with minimal help.
Yeah.
Well, minimal included at least those two paragraphs. So if they fired him, it would go away. They say, okay, they helped somebody responsible and took the right action. But so
it was probably like, you know, when you hear about an athlete who has written his autobiography, it's kind of the same thing. You know, they had somebody write it for them, but they mostly told him what to say.
Or an athlete who has to apologize because he's done something wrong. It's always the PR team that writes it as he's reading it.
Well, I think Trump is missing an opportunity to hold somebody responsible.
And you're right. Now, everything I've seen this morning, I will tell you, we've got the three TVs on in here. Everything I've seen this morning says nobody's getting fired. That doesn't mean somebody won't, but that as of 9:52, the reports are nobody from the Trump campaign is going to get fired. So no speechwriters, nobody's losing their job over this.
Speechwriters are a dime a dozen.
I know. You can find anybody to write that.
That's
a very good point. All right, Mike, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Tonight should be fun, and it should be interesting because it's the roll call,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of heard when you asked Russ about it earlier, when we talked to Russ Fulcher earlier.
Well, I said, are you looking forward to the roll call? Yeah. And he said, well, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of was like, well, this is it.
And this is it. This is what people have been waiting for to see, you know, what the initial vote will be.
Yes. Is there a chance, and I'm asking you to speculate wildly, is there a chance he doesn't get there on the first ballot and then things go haywire from there?
There is a chance. I think if enough delegates, delegates are supposed to be committed. Now, I say supposed to be because it's Republican National Committee rules.
Yes.
They're supposed to be committed to voting for him on the first ballot. And if there is no clear winner on the first ballot, then they keep voting and then they can vote for whomever
they can do whoever they
whomever
they can
they
do
chose.
Whatever they want after that.
That's
yes.
the point of the convention that you sometimes you end up with a compromise candidate. Well,
yep.
It hasn't happened in like the last 70 years, but it used to happen.
Used to happen quite a bit. Yes. Yes.
Which is, you know, why you get guys like Chester A. Arthur.
I did a report on him in sixth grade. Awesome president.
Mm-hmm. Really?
No.
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 Well, I mean,
just did a report on him, though.
He was president.
Yeah.
So he
was awesome.
But anyway,
I think I think it could go a little haywire tonight. It could be completely wheels off.
It's a possibility. I mean, some of those people, even though they are supposed to vote for him on the first ballot, they might not. They might just decide to rebel.
I mean,
in some way.
There were groups just within the last month who've tried to file lawsuits to say, I don't want to be bound to Trump.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to have to do this.
Well,
even though I knew the rules going in, I don't want to do this anymore.
But what are they going to do? Arrest them if they don't, you know, vote for? I don't know what the.
Can you lose your voting rights? Do you get kicked out of the convention?
I haven't read that many of their rules.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it all goes.
Bonnie of Boise says Rubio is supposed to appear. The bushwhackers aren't loved, which is why Jeb was such a dud. McCain, in his own words, is a wacko bird. Are people sick of the establishment? And Crapo is establishment.
But like you said, though, I think the whole campaign for the last 18 months for Donald has been, I'm not one of those guys. We're doing something new.
Yeah.
Here's Mike Pence, who's been doing the same old thing all the time, and I'm going to bring him on as VP.
Another Bob one here says, sorry to bug you with so many emails. That's okay. He wrote more than once. On Melania Trump possibly plagiarizing Michelle Obama, it's kind of like music. You probably can't find a song that doesn't have some of the same sequential notes in part of another song? How many songs are there? Billions, trillions, only so many notes. It is the same with the spoken word, only so many words, only so many subjects for a potential first lady to address. It just seemed weird that there were actual sentences that were word for word.
Yeah.
But I do kind of agree with that. It's, you know, it's possible that it was just a coincidence, but I don't know. I mean, when you play them back to back.
See, that's when it sounds really bad is when you play Melania from last night and then pause her and play Michelle from 8 years ago, then pause that and go back. And it's like they're speaking the same speech.
You know, I mean, there was a famous lawsuit here just a couple of months ago where the people who would benefit from the band Spirit making money. Most of the guys in it are dead now, but they're... you know, grandchildren or whatever, were suing Led Zeppelin over the song Stairway to Heaven. And the judge says, they're similar, but not that much.
Everybody's stealing Beethoven stuff. That's all I'm saying. Up next, Something to Think About with Mike Rogers, brought to you by the Boise Church of Christ, located at 2000 North El Dorado. Find more about this group at boisechurch.org, boisechurch.org, where church is family. Have a great Tuesday.
Now, Something to Think About with Mike Rogers.
In Cleveland for the Republican convention this week, Cleveland, like other major cities, has its problems. But in good old-fashioned Midwest tradition, they aren't giving up on their great city just yet. The first ever electric traffic light was put in Cleveland, after all, in 1914. I ran into a middle-aged African-American man and engaged him on the city of his birth, the Republican convention, his kids. When we got to the Republican convention being here in the city, he threw me for a loop. He said he was glad it was here, and he was voting for Donald Trump. His uncle was a police officer for 35 years. He believes that Democrats are using race and the police to divide America in a way he has never seen in his lifetime. And this will be the first Republican he will have ever voted for. As for the current president, he said he is proud that he got to vote for the first black president. But this election to him is very different. Well, you can say that again. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.